What's up, my friends? It's Devin. I'm back for another episode of the Free Your Voice, Free Your Life podcast. As always, thanks for coming and hanging out with me. It's been a little bit since we've been together, all for good reason. Lots of exciting stuff happening, and I'm excited to catch you up just a little bit around what's been going on, sharing a bit about my experience, but also tackling a topic which I can't tell you how big of a deal this has been in my life. And I've been noticing conversations in my coaching work and some of the voice work that I'm doing that are really pointing me toward a desire to want to share this more explicitly with you. And I'm going to save that just a little bit. But it's about following the feeling. Following the feeling. First of all, though, it's been a minute since I've been with you because I've been up to some really cool stuff. Like this last week in particular was, I don't know, maybe one of the most exciting weeks I've had in a really long time. And I've had some good ones lately. So the fact that this one lit me up so much, it's just a real testament to sort of the exuberant nature of my life right now. But let me just give you a quick rundown. So first of all, I had the opportunity to bring improvisational singing, get ready for this, to the Federal Reserve Bank, the Fed. So if you're not familiar, I have this company called Voxus. You can learn more, Voxus, V-O-X-U-S, experience.com. But the premise is I bring circle singing or improvisational singing to the professional, corporate, executive, team environment as a means of fostering growth in leadership, team building, deeper connection with individuals and with the group. And back in November, I had the opportunity to bring this to the stage of the Koch Theater at Lincoln Center for what was the World of Business Information Summit. Long story short, there was a woman there who is a part of this leadership academy, sort of an internal leadership academy at the Federal Reserve Bank. And she invited me to come bring what I do to this summit that happens twice a year. And this was a really cool summit. It's called Thrive. There were 90 plus participants. They're all people that work within the Federal Reserve, and they're people that are identified as emerging leaders. And they fly them all into Chicago. Turns out the Fed has 30,000 employees. So it's a big organization. So they fly these 90 plus people into Chicago and they give them a week of really enriching, intense leadership training. A lot of this looks like, you know, breakout sessions and workshops, and a bunch of it looks like, you know, what might be typical conference-y, summit, TED Talk type situations where you have people that come in and specialize on a topic around leadership, you know, management, growth, development, that kind of stuff. But my new friend, who works for the Fed, had the vision, the foresight to bring me in to do something completely different. And by all accounts, what I offered was pretty unprecedented in that space. And can I just tell you, I was nervous, like didn't sleep well for days, nervous. And the reason I was so nervous is not so much around my ability to do what it is that I do in that space, but is around this specific element that they wanted me to spend potentially an hour with the group. And keeping people's attention for an hour is tricky to begin with, but keeping people's attention in the face of something that they might feel some level of resistance around even doing, or even some level of irritation that they have to do. And then I caught a glimpse of the actual space that we were going to be in, and it was a very sort of traditional, like classroom sort of setting. And there were all these elements that I thought potentially might work against how successful I might be. And of course, I spent a lot of time preparing and thinking about this, but I'm just aware that there are some times when I've done this work in certain situations where it is a real challenge to keep people connected to what it is that we're trying to accomplish, especially in light of the fact that their nervous systems might be entirely dysregulated about what I'm asking them to do. Okay, so all of that to say, it kicked ass. Like, it was awesome. I had the whole room. I mean this. Like, I was very engaged with eye contact with the whole room the whole time. And almost everyone, like, their eyes didn't even wander, which surprised the hell out of me. It was so incredible. And I think a part of that was the nature of what this gathering was. Again, you have people that are identified as emerging leaders. They're all they all have sort of an investment in what it is that they were trying to accomplish in this space or place. But when the hour was up, I felt like we could have gone longer. And that was absolutely incredible to me. And I had them singing and moving and dancing for a good 35 minutes of that. Like, maybe even longer. They were actively engaged using their bodies and their voices. And when they actually first started singing, it wasn't weak. It was like a community singing gathering, which I would host. It held a lot of exuberance. And yeah. So anyways, I walked out of that room flying high, not just at my own sort of accomplishments, but just with a level of optimism and hope around the work that I'm wanting to bring to more of these corporate spaces. Historically, I've had a story and narrative, and put a pin in this thought because it will come up later, but that this is a hard sell in those spaces, in those settings. And generally, I meet people who reiterate that to me. Well, that's got to be, you know, you have to meet a lot of resistance if you're going to do that. And yes, I am prepared to meet that resistance in that space. But I got to tell you, this go around, I really didn't meet that resistance. I mean, truthfully, I really found the people to be open-hearted, to be willing, to be connected. And it was in a stiff environment. I mean, it was in an environment where what it was that we were doing was, like I said, unprecedented, to say the least. So I just wanted to give you that update because it has me excited and it has me thinking that how I'm approaching this sort of work is really going to shift and change in the future. I'm not going to keep telling the narrative that this is a hard sell. I'm going to keep telling the narrative that this has the potential to really light anyone and everyone up, because we all share this commonality of having a voice. We all share the ability to make music together, given good leadership, given good direction. And that's my skill set. I can walk into the space with anyone, and I mean anyone, and I can bring them together in making some sort of collective song, using just their voices and their bodies. So anyway, lit me up. Next level peak experience for me. Okay, so then literally the next day, I had the opportunity to lead our community circle singing gathering, which is Chicago Circle Singing. You can learn more about that at chicagocirclesinging.com. And I really hustled this go around because I got reached out to by the local news. NBC5 here in Chicago has a morning show called Chicago Today, and they reached out to us about our community singing gathering because they want to do a little feature on us. And so this is very exciting because I'm trying to draw more people into this group. So I hustled and I got a lot of people in the room. I was hounding people, if I'm being honest. They were probably a little annoyed with me, but we had 65 beautiful human beings with incredible voices in the room. All shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, ages, genders. I mean, it was a really incredible, diverse, gorgeous, beautiful group. And I got to tell you, this was like a peak experience for me, not on a professional level, because I don't do the Chicago Circle Singing for money, just on a personal level. People were ready to sing, and our collective voices together, damn. It was so, so good. And I'm so proud that we turned that group out, and it's going to be on TV. And I'll share that with you once it becomes available. It might not air until April. But again, I just walked away going, wow, wow, people are ready to wake up in so many different ways. And I'm so glad that Spirit, Source, God, the universe has called me to be a channel for that through singing and through the voice. And I'm just incredibly grateful. So that was Tuesday after the Fed on Monday. And then Wednesday, I got to announce, because the announcement made itself known, that I'm going to be bringing The Reset, my immersive sound healing experience, theresetsoundexperience.com. to the Ravinia Festival in Highland Park, just north here of Chicago. It's the Chicago home, summer home to the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And here's the thing about Ravinia. It's one of the iconic summer music festivals in the country. You have like the Hollywood Bowl, Tanglewood, Ravinia. These are home to these beautiful grounds where people come and they bring picnics and they settle and they just enjoy the beauty that summer has to offer in the spirit of music and performance. But here's why Ravinia is a really big deal. My very first job out of college was at Ravinia. I left school. Many of you have heard me tell this story before, but I left the school feeling very clearly that I wasn't wanting to pursue operatic singing further. And I didn't know what to do, so I got a job in an office. And I thought I would pursue like nonprofit arts education, outreach, arts management work. And so I did, and the job I got was at Ravinia. And man, I got paid just pennies, my friends. And it was hard work, but it was also a really magical moment in my life because I got connected with a new social community and I was around amazing performers and artists. I picked up Patti LuPone from the airport, and there were all these sort of crazy things that happened to me that summer. But it also was a time in my life where I was very confused about who I was, not only as a musician and a singer, but as a person. I was really just floundering, trying to figure out how to be in the world, especially if I wasn't pursuing operatic singing as a career. And so it was a time of deep difficulty and deep sadness, but also magic and momentum. But so to be able to come back in this way and perform and bring what it is that I do to an iconic stage like this, especially given my history 20 years ago with this space and this place, I mean, it lights me up. I am so excited. And it's not even about the actual performance itself. It's just the whole energy and momentum. I mean, the performance is going to be amazing. I'm super stoked about it. But to be able to see the cyclical, full circle, exciting, energizing nature of life in this way, and to be able to look at it and go, oh, I did that. I did that. I found my way back. It took me a while, but I found my way back in a way that feels aligned and right and true and honest and authentically me. And yeah, July 11th, tickets go on sale April 24th at ravinia.org. I'll share more at the resetsoundexperience.com. You can always learn about everything I'm up to at davinyoungs.com. I have a lot of websites, I know, but they're all pointing toward different specific things, but the home base is davinyoungs.com. Yeah, friends, it was a big week. Do you hear that I'm riding high? I'm super stoked. But all of this, all that I'm saying to you, and even that little riding high piece right there, it is pointing me toward the topic that I want to bring to you today. And if you follow me on social media at Davin Youngs, I posted a little bit about this, just recently, because it's something that's been on my mind, but I want to share an idea and a concept with you. And I want to try to connect it to some of my experiences and some of the experiences that you might have had. And maybe if I'm really skillful, I'll find my way into some thoughts on singing and the voice as well. But here's the gist of this idea. Remember, I said it was about following a feeling. But here's the premise. Anything that you desire, anything that I desire, actually the only thing that you and I are looking for in this lifetime or at any given moment is a feeling. The thing that you want, the thing that you really, really want is a feeling. Now let that settle in here for just a moment, because at first you're going to try to find other things that you want. And I'll explain to you why those other things aren't it. But hear me when I say the only thing that you want, the only thing you actually desire, is a feeling. Now, at any given moment, you or I, we will convince ourselves that we want things. The easiest way in which we'll likely go is we'll feel like we need more money. We'll feel like we need more opportunity. we need a different job. We need a different relationship. We need, you know, more talent. We need yada, 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 thing, 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 thing. But the reason that we have come up with any of those things in our mind as a point of focus is because we have a belief, maybe that we haven't even really acknowledged to ourselves, but we inevitably have a belief that by obtaining, achieving, receiving those things, we will have also obtained, achieved, received a feeling. So if I get this opportunity, if my bank account looks like X, if I were only thinner, if I were more beautiful, if I were more talented, if I, you know, had more followers on Instagram, then I would have what I want, which what I want, whether I've admitted it to myself, is a feeling. And those feelings are many, right? Like the feeling might be to be validated. The feeling might be to be happy. Usually the thing that we think subconsciously most often is, if I get this, I'll be happy. If I feel this, I'll be happy. If I achieve this, I'll be happy. Or maybe even peaceful, or I'll feel easeful. If I have this much money, or if I have this big of a house, or if I have this opportunity, I will feel peace. I will feel like I can let go. I will feel like I have... You name it. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I achieve something, it doesn't actually put me to the end of the desire of that feeling. So even right now, as I'm recounting to you all of these amazing things that have happened to me this week, all these really cool accomplishments, all this cool stuff that's popping up for me. You know what has happened to me in the midst of all of that? This conversation that pops up in my head that goes, how do I keep this going? What's the next thing I do? How do I look for the next opportunity? How do I achieve or turn this into momentum? You know, I found myself at some of the gigs I've been at recently, spending a lot of the gig thinking about who I could connect with about getting the next gig. And we do this all the time. I admit this with vulnerability, but because I admit it because I know that you do the exact same thing. We all do this because what it is that we're missing is that we want a feeling. And we also miss that the thing is generally not the carrier of the feeling. Because it turns out that the feeling was always available. The feeling was never contingent upon having achieved, obtained, received the thing, the opportunity, the relationship, the job, the money, the talent, the body, the followers, you name it. Now, this is hard to wrap your mind around. And this is, for me, this has been a real labor of love around moving into this mindset shift for myself. But I can say that I'm really starting to reap the benefits of it in a different way. Here's the premise, though. When I say this to you, when I say that the feeling is available to you now, you might think that I'm asking you to give up your desire or give up your dream. Or it might sound to you like you just need to let go of trying. And this is where semantics come into play. Because yes, maybe. Yes to all of that. I mean, even to be more dramatic, you might need to sort of kill those things or die to those things. But let's be generous with ourselves for a moment. Let's imagine we're quite skillful already. And I just offer that this isn't about giving up any of that. In fact, this might be about leaning in further to that which you really desire, that which you really want, that which you really aspire to, that which you really dream about. But the thing that so many of us missed and that I missed for years is that what you dream about is available to you now. The feeling is available to you now. It's something that you have to first recognize and cultivate. Recognize and cultivate. And actually, and this is the thing that's really tricky to understand, but when you start to see it play out, you really get it. Cultivating the feeling is the only groundwork for actually achieving, obtaining, receiving that which you want. So if you haven't done a good job of cultivating your capacity to feel the feeling that you want, it will be very difficult for you to receive it when it actually happens. And so you will be in the gig of a lifetime and you'll be obsessed with trying to figure out how to get the next one. And so you miss the feeling itself because you realize that you were just pining after something that this wasn't ever promising to begin with. The way this shows up for me, and the way this continues to show up for me, is that as I pursue my hopes and my dreams and my desires, and as I pursue personal growth and expansion and healing, and as I pursue a more authentic, free, just delicious version of myself, I start to recognize that the actual dreaming aspect, the aspect of ideating, the aspect of just wondering in awe to myself, could I make that happen? What about this? What about that? That's the really good stuff. That has within it this sort of resistance and tension sometimes that I immediately put in it. But when I look back upon my journey, when I look back upon my process, those are some of the memories that I'm most fond of. When I'm just trying to come up with the idea and trying to imagine a path, and then the pieces start to come together that actually the path reveals itself, and then surprises happen along the way. So people pop up and they offer me unexpected turns on the path. And then here, all of these years or months or even days later, I find myself actually in the thing that I was imagining to begin with. It's incredible. It's an incredible process. It's what people call manifesting. But if I miss that I have access to the feeling at any given moment, I won't have done the appropriate work to set myself up to really enjoy it. Now, a couple of things I want to be really careful about here that I want to make sure that we're clear on is this isn't about bypassing other feelings. So this isn't about ignoring the ways in which we might be struggling or suffering or things feel difficult, or this isn't that. But it's simply about recognizing that in the midst of that, everything else is available to you too. This is about pausing just long enough to know that that singular story about how difficult or how hard or how challenging or how this thing will never be available to you or this will never pan out or you name it, these things never work for you. In the midst of that, however impossible it may seem, if you stop just long enough, if you pause long enough, is the opportunity to also imagine that it's right here, right now. That if you just think it, if you just think it, it carries then the possibility of creation. If you just have thought it, it can become a thing. And if it can become a thing, then it's right here with you right now. You can access it. Again, I'm not asking you, and I think that this is where the manifestation conversation gets complicated, because we think that we then have to focus our attention exclusively on that which we want, desire, by ignoring that which feels like it's a struggle. No, you hold the capacity to simply acknowledge all that is within you. And here's the thing, when you start to acknowledge a story outside of the one of suffering and struggle, it starts to become perforated. It starts to poke holes in it. It starts to have space for air, and suddenly it starts to expand. And if you practice it, if you cultivate it, if you come back to it again and again, you find that the story shifts and changes and moves. And like me, you might find that your direction of thought takes a holistic turn, that those stories around what is going to be hard, what is going to be difficult, what won't be created, what never happens for you, it starts to not be the dominant narrative. And in the moment when you realize that's the case, you just start to feel different. You start to feel good a lot, often. And the struggle, it doesn't consume in the way that it used to. The struggle starts to feel, if anything, useful. It starts to feel like a clue that points you toward the dream. It starts to feel like a clue that points you toward the possibility. It starts to feel like a clue that points you toward that which you want to manifest. And so when I say to myself, I want to create this thing, I have this dream, I have this vision for doing this here, and my body and my heart and my mind, their instinct is to immediately try to shut that down, which is a great response. It's actually a natural response. It's a protective mechanism. But I say to them, whoa, hold up. Hold up. We're not playing by those rules anymore. There's no need to protect here, my friend. You have created a mode of operating that is by its very nature safe. All of the evidence around you supports that you are safe, that you can create, that you can manifest, that you can realize. And then suddenly the light starts to shine out of those spaces and places from within. You start to go, yeah, I think I can do that. What else can I do? What else is there? Now, another important thing to note here is that if trauma is a part of your experience, accessing this frame of mind can be especially difficult. And again, I want to be clear that I'm not asking you to bypass difficult feelings. In fact, it might be really important for you to specifically dig into those feelings, maybe with a therapist, a psychotherapist, a somatic practitioner, whoever you might find to be useful on that journey. But as a means of overcoming the things that have happened to you in your life that have influenced a sense of stuckness, a sense of contraction or protection, you might need to spend time specifically digging into those things. And along those lines, another thing that pops up for so many people is, Davin, I don't know what I want. Or, Davin, I can't even tell you what I feel. To which I say, I believe you. I believe you. Because some things have happened to you that have limited your capacity to be aware of that. Some things have happened in your life that have made it feel completely unsafe to know the sensation, to know the experience, to know the yearnings of your heart, to know your dreams. But I want you to know that there is a path back. There is a path to dreaming. There is a path to desiring. There is a path to manifesting. And it might not be easy. It might take a while. I mean, this thing that I told you about Ravinia, we're talking 20 years here. That's really the worst part about all of this for me. And I say that with a grin. You don't know the timing that it's going to take. You don't know the timing that your path is going to take. But you do, you can count on the fact that the universe will not give you anything, much to all of our chagrin, but the universe will not give you anything that you are not, in fact, ready for. So if you find yourself in a space of habitual protection, contraction, resistance, you will not find yourself in a space a perpetual flow. You will not find yourself in a perpetual space of feeling good. So it's important to follow the feeling. And if the feeling is at first resistance, if the feeling is at first doubt, if the feeling is at first contraction, if the feeling at first is inhibition, those are great clues to pay attention to. Those are really great stories to explore and to try to unpack so that you can better understand why it is that your mind is so habituated into thinking in this way. Why those beliefs have become so synonymous with how it is that you operate in this world. And when you start to notice them, when you start to go, ooh, my mind just did that thing. Oh, yeah, I just said again that I can't do that. You know, I reflected to you earlier that I have said, particularly with Voxus, for years, that it was a hard sell. And now I'm hearing myself say that. And why would I say that? What good is that doing me? It's not a great sales tactic, I'll tell you that. You know what's a more compelling story? This shit will change your life. I can go into any space and any place and I can create deep connection between a group using just their bodies and their voices. And I can do it with anyone. Even those who you might believe would find it difficult and hard, I can do it. Now that's a more compelling story. And you know what that does? The energy from that, it attracts more of that. The enthusiasm with which I'm offering that narrative, it attracts people to it. It makes people want to engage me in this work. It brings them into my belief structure that this is a channel for opening. This is a portal for opening. This expands upon itself. That is so exciting to me. So when we start to clock that we are digging into these old stories and narratives that are negative, that are detrimental, that are our capacity to just shut things down, and we start to, like I said, poke holes in that, we offer then an opening for ourselves to go, what else can I do? What else can I do? And you know what? That feels good. It feels better. I promise it feels better. And when you start to feel good, you want to feel even better. You want to keep feeling good. And so you realize that there's a path that points you toward that more often. It's not about singularly feeling good. It's about feeling all of the feelings and knowing that when we feel the good feeling, it really propels us forward with an incredible momentum. Now, I wanted to offer you a practice that I do, and this comes from Abraham Hicks, but it's a practice that I have started to engage, and I just find it to be so life-giving, and so I wanted to share it with you. It's a gratitude practice. It's practicing gratitude for that which I don't know in terms of my senses yet. It's practicing gratitude for all intents and purposes that which I perceive to not be here. So let's say, for instance, I was going into this gig with the Federal Reserve Bank, and I did do this, for the record. But I'll spend time, I'll maybe go for a walk or just sit in meditation, and I'll just go to town on gratitude, and I'll say, I'm so grateful for the success of this work that I'm doing with the Federal Reserve. I'm so grateful that I walk into the room and that everyone looks at me with kind eyes, and I'm so grateful that every voice in the room is offered with exuberance, and I'm so grateful that they are so willing to offer up their spirits and their minds and their bodies. And I'm so grateful that fear is not the dominating factor in the room. And I'm so grateful that they see the connection between the work that we're doing and how it connects with their life and their office. And I'm so grateful that even though this is so far outside of their comfort zone, that they find a deep willingness to participate. And I'm so grateful that people walked away feeling like their lives were changed. And I'm so grateful that it influenced how they interacted with their family and their friends. And I'm so grateful that some people in the room found their way back to singing and music, something they had felt like they had been disconnected from for so long. And I'm so grateful that they found a channel back to creativity and personal growth and expression. And I'm so grateful that I was the source for that. And I'm so grateful that this work has led me to this opportunity to connect with people in this way. And I'm so grateful that this is just the beginning of many jobs that I will do like this, and that this is just a taste of the exuberance and joy and blessings that I will feel as a result of being an active participant in this work. You catch me there? That's pretty significant, but it's so powerful, and it's cultivating the feeling. Do you feel it as I'm saying it? Do you feel it? Because I feel it, and I practice it before I do it. And then I'm a great receptor for what it is to stay in that channel of feeling. And so when I get actually in front of the group, I'm anticipating all of these things. I'm ready to receive them. I know them to be true, even though I haven't yet experienced them in terms of the senses. And I'm able to look at the group with an open heart and open eyes, and I'm able to just really envelop them in the confidence of this experience. I'm able to hold them in my own deep knowing of the abundance that is available to all of us in this moment. And I'm able to just move forward on the momentum that that sort of feeling has offered me. My word for this year, 2024, is momentum. And I've really been engaging in that because it's this beauty, this beautiful experience when you start to feel things flowing and you don't have to push so hard. I've spent so many years pushing. And over the last few years, I've really, really become sensitive to the toll that that takes on me. And I'm not willing to do it in the same way anymore. I don't want to push. I want to go with the flow. I want to ride the wave that is abundance. I want to move through the river that is joy and personal growth and expression and healing and transformation. And I want to be a part of that and how it shows up for everyone I come into contact with. And I don't want it to be the result of resistance. I want it to be the result of trust and surrender and allowing. I invite you into that same channel and that same path because it's possible for you. I know that it is. I know that you right now, right here in this moment, can cultivate that feeling, can just get even the most smallest taste of it. And when you do, you can be reminded that it's available to you at any moment and any time. One question I think that is really important to ask ourselves is, what are we not willing to feel? What are we not willing to consider? You know, likely if you were to engage a gratitude practice like the one I just did, you might find it silly to begin with. Why would I do these things since it's not going to happen anyway? Trust me, I've been there. I used to feel like that. But I don't anymore because I've practiced it. I feel like it's all true. I feel like it's all here for me now. And remember, the only thing that any of us want, the only thing that you want, the only thing that I want is a feeling. But what are you not willing to let yourself feel? Now, I want to conclude here by bringing this back to the voice for just a moment, because that's where this podcast originated. But one of the things that I see so happen so often as a hindrance in the work that I do with people and their voice is a lack of willingness to feel good when they sing now. A perceived or a perception that they will need to, that the singer, that you will need to be able to sound like this or do this or achieve this before it feels good. And there are two truths here that might seem paradoxical, but I want to offer them to you. And this reflects directly back in what I was telling you about these life lessons. When you're singing, it might not feel good. You might feel like there's a strangulation in your throat. You might feel like there's some discomfort, some uneasiness. You might feel fear. But what I want you to also know is that all of the research says that by just using your voice through the form that is singing, that could be as simple as humming, by just using your voice, you will feel good. On a physiological level, you will experience increased levels of dopamine, increased levels of serotonin, increased levels of oxytocin, you will experience decreased levels of cortisol. There will be a hormonal shift in your physiological being just by humming, even for a few seconds here. Actually, let's do this together for a moment if you're willing. We're just going to hum. Just take a deep breath and do two hums for the extent of your exhale. Okay, so breathe in with me. And then hum. Let's do that again. Now, notice how you feel. Likely you feel buzzy. Likely you feel pretty good. Maybe not everything that you want to feel. But like I said, the science and research says you feel better. You feel better than before you did when you started to hum. Now look, I know you want to increase your skills and your abilities. I know you want to become more skillful. I know you want to become better at what it is that you're trying to do. I'm not saying that's not a part of this. It is. But what I want you to know is that you will miss the opportunity to feel good doing what it is that you're doing right now if you forget that the whole thing was always and forever about a feeling. The reason that you sing at all is because it feels good. The reason you want to use your voice is because it feels good. And you've convinced yourself, because we all do that, that it won't really feel good until. And I'm telling you, it's not true. It feels good now. If you can only allow yourself to be present and feel it, if you can stay present to the truth of this moment, if you can be in your body and make the sound. And you know what happens after that? It just keeps feeling better. It gets better and 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 better. And you just want to keep doing it. And you just want to keep singing. 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 And then when you sing with other people, you're just enamored with the truth of the fact that you're all feeling this good feeling together. Yes. Why do you think I want people to sing together? Because it feels good. Because I know in my being that it feels good. And I know that when people sing together, they feel good and they look at each other with that deep knowing of how they're all feeling. 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 My friend, follow the feeling. The answer is in the feeling. The answer is not in your thoughts. The answer is not in your thinking. The answer is in the feeling. And it's all available to you here, right now, in this moment. Until next time, peace.